Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome, fellow explorers of the unexplained, to a new episode of Hidden Mysteries. This is February 8th, and I'm here with my sidekick co-host, Reverend Maria D'Andrea. How you doing, Maria?
Oh, wonderful. I'm excited about the show, as usual.
As usual. So, we're coming to you from the New York area, and for those of you who have no idea who Reverend Maria is, but I find that really odd, she's an internationally known psychic from Budapest, Hungary, a European shaman. She is a traveler and a speaker on spiritual psychic and paranormal topics. You can check Maria's website at mariadeandrea.com. You can also get in touch with Maria at 631-559-1248. Again, at 631-559-1248 after the show. Anybody who'd like to give us a call if they have any questions about tonight's topic, the number here is 929-477-1080. So ancient symbols are found all over the world in pyramids and sacred tribal spaces, on the walls of caves, ancient artifacts and carvings. The meanings of these symbols have been lost for centuries, and some have been integrated somehow into our current civilization. Only those who were initiated into the ancient mysteries long ago would have known for sure what they meant. Many of these ancient designs tend to give us clues to our cosmic origins, reminding us of our relationship to the divine. Now, the flower of life, for instance, is a sacred symbol found within all major faiths of the world, known as the creation pattern. Gianvallo, the founder of the School of Remembering, has lectured on this very topic and feels that it gives us a glimpse into how we came to be. The flower of life incorporates the energetic process that eventually brings everything and everyone into the physical, and it is the process in which we are all created. So, Maria, why do you think a lot of these symbols are here in the first place, and they seem to be, I don't know, like covered up? And unless, of course, you know that there's some importance to it. You know, the people who understand such mysteries and get information about mysteries. Why do you think they're there? You know, and we have to sort of like scope them out and find out what they're all about.
Well, I think you're right about the symbols being there for us for a specific reason many times. I find that it's really been used since antiquity. And part of it, I really feel, is to help us to understand and to reveal different realities to us. Because as you know, and our listeners know, we always think there's more than one reality. So I think it helps us tune in. And a symbol can basically be anything. So as an example, people always look at symbols as, say, looking at a picture. But there's so much more, because I was thinking about this the other day. And if you look at, say, a chalice on a communion table, okay, when you look at it like that, it really automatically, mentally gives you like a really whole quick story of Christ, because you know what the chalice represents. Or as an example, it reminds us to be thankful, or a lot of times symbols help to improve our lives by choices that we can make. It brings out various choices. And I find that psychic information that is tuned into the symbols, okay, with the help of a focal point, is a very, very strong symbol, and we use it consciously. So as an example, it really is the language of psychic and magic workers. It's the language of the soul mind, and a symbol actually can be understood by all as a universal language, because if you're looking at, say, a flower, okay, anybody on the planet that looks at a flower will get some kind of an idea of what the heck it is.
Right.
So basically, symbols and pictures are really the universal language, because when we're thinking about something, and I know you and I've talked about it, if I'm telling somebody about a pink elephant, they're not seeing the word pink elephant. They're actually picturing the elephant. So we really see things in symbols, and it's seen in mythology, dreams, and in situations such as association magic. you know. So we see
right.
it in a lot of different areas that people don't really think about. You know?
Yeah,
In fact, you were saying something the other day about the mandala.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I was about to say that. You know, but before we get into that one, I was about to say, yes, it's like an archetypal symbols that we, as a universe, as a mass, we understand automatically. And I always believe that when we come into this universe, we come in with a mass agreement where we have an understanding, a mutual understanding of what all this information means, and everything that occurs in physical law, you know, and in our universe is something that we accept without question, because that's something that we've agreed upon arriving here. So I think that's these universal symbols are probably part of that.
Yeah, I think they're reminders of different realities and different situations, and bringing in new realities, because sometimes you can look at a symbol and it can trigger a scientific idea or something brand new
right.
that you can work on that actually helps society or just you.
Right, right. right, right. Now, what we're going to say about the mandala seems to be like a very personally based image that only has meaning for that individual alone, though some of the images like we were talking about can be chosen based on the indigenous place that these, you know, of the where they live or their culture. Like Carl Jung wrote in his book, Memories, Dreams, and Reflections, that the mandala is an archetypal image. It signifies the wholeness of the self. This circular image represents the wholeness of the psychic ground, or to put it in mythic terms, the divinity incarnate in man. So what's your take on it, especially since nowadays it's become so mainstream? I mean, you see them in adult coloring books, you see them in art workshops. It's become like a new pastime, you know?
Right. And I think a lot of people look at it as it's very artistic, but they don't realize what it is and how it can be used. And actually, the mandala is Sanskrit for mystical circle. That's exactly what it means. And sometimes the pictures bring out images for your subconscious or your soul mind. That's why they're very mystical, they're abstract, and they're really supposed to represent everything. It's supposed to represent sound and light, color, form and rhythm, a sense of self-renewal. So it represents really the harmony of nature, which encapsulates the meaning of the mandala. So as an example, Oriental mandalas have deities and have four gates or portals, and some may actually represent mythical beings. And then you have the center of the mandala, which represents the center of the universe. And focusing on the center really is meant to open you up spiritually to go within yourself. And when you're focused on an image, either a mandala or, say, a business perhaps, you end up actually creating it. So it's really funny. I also work with scientists, which is funny considering that, you know, I'm an occultist, or some people call it magic. Okay, same thing. And I still work with scientists because we really are the oldest magic, you know, the oldest science. And we found in the scientific community, and it's actually been tested, that if you focus extremely hard on a picture, a thought, a mandala, you know, or anything for 17 seconds, it will actually be created. Now, this is not as easy as it sounds. 17 seconds when you're focused really is longer than it sounds. But all you really need to manifest and create something in your life is to focus for 17 seconds. I love that the scientific community agrees with us.
Well, it's interesting that they come upon, like, it's 17 as opposed to 15 as opposed to 20. It's like 17, you know. It's almost like one of those, you know, murder mysteries where the butler says, yes, I was there at 11:42 a.m. and 32 seconds, you know. And to me, it's like, how precise can you possibly get? Now, being, you know, a devil's advocate, I'm going to ask, you know, what if you suddenly get like a negative thought about it where you perhaps may feel that it might not come about? I mean, what do you do in that situation?
Okay. Well, first of all, that actually comes up more frequently than people think, because we're human. We're going to have doubt. We're going to look at it as, oh, it's not going to work, or what if it doesn't work, or uh-oh, you know. So it's human to actually think like that. So in the beginning when you have those feelings. Let's say you've been focusing on a new job for 17 seconds, and a day later your mind changes and you feel it just won't happen. You can use the word cancel. I use that a lot. You can use the word cancel or say it's being worked on. So you're telling the universe, I cancel the negative thought, and then I usually replace it with the positive or the opposite. Or you can really say, right, it's being worked on because the universe is working on it for you. Also, since sitting for 17 seconds may be on your mind while concentrating on your desires, I always look at it as you may want to use a timer so that you won't have the time on your mind. Because what happens is now you're focused on the 17 seconds, and what you want to do, right, is focus on you want to manifest. So different mandalas also speak to different people. Mm-hmm. You know, don't you find that? You know, I find,
right, you know, and
I look at a mandala and I'm attracted to, yeah, it, and nobody else is, or the other way around.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because there are some that really draws you in, and then there are some that, yeah, they're okay, but you know, you don't get the same energy from. But you know what was interesting was when I was putting these notes together, I suddenly remembered that there were at least a couple of occasions that I recall where when I was coming out of my sleep state at night and coming back into my body, I remember viewing like a circular design and thinking, because I was, you know, into Carl Jung for a while, and I was remembered reading a lot about, you know, mandalas. And when I came back into the body, I saw this beautiful, intricate circular design, and I remembered how powerful it was as I was viewing it. And naturally,
wow,
it was basically impossible to recreate it once you come out of your sleep state. But I felt like I was getting some sort of a spiritual message about either my life or what, who knows what it was. But it was just fascinating the way it was just there, and I was just as I was coming into my body, it was like this fascinating sensation of like the I don't know, I can't even describe it. It's hard to describe something that isn't on the physical level. You know, like it's really, really
was
quite
it in
hard.
Color
but
or black and white?
A lot of it, I think, was in color. I believe it was those times where it was in color.
And I was just curious.
Yeah. I mean, I love color, so that probably is the reason why, you know, I'm drawn to, like, you know, beautiful magnetic colors, you know, with the high frequencies. But I just remember, and the fact that it came at, you know, right after learning about it through Carl Jung, it just, you know, it had much more impact to it. I said, oh, I know what that is. After reading about it, you know, at least I knew what it was all about. But, you know,
And it's really funny because we were talking about earlier, sometimes you and I have gone through different things, like, you know, going out of body. And I know I was going out of body for years, and then I was reading a book and I went, oh, my God, there's a name to this.
Yeah.
Like you were,
yeah,
saying with Carl Jung, you know, and then, yeah, you realize that there's a connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At least you've got a language to use. You know, sometimes,
right,
you're scared in the beginning because you don't know what it is or, you know, what you're experiencing. But once you understand it through another person's experience, you know, you gain some more knowledge and you're able to, you know, wipe away that fear, which is something that humans are basically, you know, birthed on, is fear. And it helps you to understand more of your spiritual psychic self, which is really fascinating and very intricate, more than we realize. Now, as far as like symbols, such as like circles and triangles, you know, as a standard, are they more powerful? I mean, is this the reason that there are so many circular and triangular motifs found in many ancient civilizations? Or perhaps, again, they're just clues to our existence. Maybe because, the idea of the circle, you know, infinity, nothing begins, nothing ends. Perhaps that's the reason why there's so many symbols within a circle. Enforcing that idea, you know.
I know what you are. First of all, there are also symbols in connection with, as an example, stones and their engravings, such as for protection or love, among other variables. Or as an example, such as astrological stones. You know, they're symbols to represent, you know, the signs and whatever else it's going to attract about the signs, or talisman, and basically focal points that just help you to go within and to elevate your spiritual side. But I find the symbols that you were talking about with the circle and the triangle, they really have several meanings. So it depends on how you personally perceive it, such as a circle, like you said, it represents infinity. But on the magic side, it also represents the first atmospheric level. It represents air. Or as an example, a triangle represents, depending on how you look at it, it can represent the Trinity or the law of three. And the law of three, a lot of times in magic, refers to the deity, time, and creation. And then also it represents fire or the light ether or the subconscious mind. So I find that you may resonate to different symbols or you may be pulled to certain ones, but the symbols can also be definite signs. So if I'm looking for a sign as an example for my spirit guides, normally what I do is I ask if they would repeat it at least twice so that I get it. And I also ask for it in a way that's understandable to me, because sometimes I've gotten symbols and I kind of went, what the heck? So I always ask for it to be understandable to me, you know. But I find that if I don't get it the first time and I'm asking for a symbol for something, if I don't get it the first time, it'll repeat in different forms until I get it.
Interesting. Like I know that there are like the Tree of Life, for instance. That's another very popular symbol, and it recognizes so many different cultures as a symbol of immortality and eternal life. From the ancient Chinese and Egyptian culture to Germanic paganism and Mesoamerica, the imagery across all cultures is essentially the same. Not to be confused with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life is the tree whose fruit gives eternal life to all who might obtain it. It alludes to the interconnection of all life on our planet and serves as a metaphor for, you know, common descent in the evolutionary sense. So, Maria, are there any others that any other type of symbols that you like to bring up?
Well, actually, I find in magic, as an example, a symbol can be anything that represents something else or an idea. And then we look at it as when it manifests into physical form, it's deemed a vessel. And when it's used or regulated, we really call it as being the law. So there's a lot more to it than people realize, because in ancient ways, you know, it's been passed down to work with it correctly. And I always suggest to everyone listening, for the next 3 weeks, what I would suggest is to pay attention to what signs or symbols keep reoccurring around you, and then look at what it means to you personally, or pick a picture, mandala, that has a center and a focus on it to get ideas, or just to see how it makes you feel. Because as you were saying once, you know, it gives you different feelings. It's not just information, and you can get information as a feel or an idea or a number of different ways.
Right, right.
And, you know, I just wanted to say, because I know we're close to the closing, right?
Well, we got another 11 minutes.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. I lost track there. I get all excited about the subjects.
Yeah.
But I find in magic, it's been around for centuries. It was around before magic. We've always had symbols. But at some point, because magic is science, the oldest science, that at some point somebody went, oh, I just noticed it keeps coming up frequently, and this is what it means to me. So I think people sometimes, when they look at a focal point and they kind of pull in, they talk to other people and go, oh, what did it mean to you? Which is interesting, but whatever it means to you specifically, it's speaking to you, not to your friend that's looking at the same picture.
Right. Well, that's the same way I always believe in dreams. Whenever people, you know, they get these books on dream symbols, I always feel that the dreams have personal meaning to you. So to me, those books don't really mean anything as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, if you see a dog in your dream, you might feel differently to that dog as opposed to somebody else. Somebody might not like this. Yeah, so it's different to each person. So, you know, I always feel like you have to go with how you feel, your gut feeling about what's happening in that dream. So I that's why I tend to really stay away from those dream symbol books. It just, to me, doesn't make any sense. you know.
No, I agree, because I find with symbols, especially, you know, in dreams, but sometimes what you see in a dream, if you're doing, because, you know, I do different types of readings, but say you're doing a reading where it's, say, tea leaves as an example, which is a little bit more European, you know, you might see a bird in there, or you might see birds all over creation until you get that symbolic message. And birds basically just means that there are messages. So if you look at a bird and it looks like they're flying towards you on a picture, then it means you have a message coming to you. If you look at it and it looks like on the picture the birds are flying away from you, it's messages or information you need to give somebody else. But it does have different meanings, because I find, like, even with colors, we're in America right now. So here, if you look at blue, the color is kind of cool and relaxed. You know, if you're somewhere, say, in Scandinavia, blue is not that cool of a color. You know, the level is different because you're living in it all the time.
Well,
it depends on your culture also.
Well, how would Scandinavia look upon blue? I mean, what do they get from it when they're looking at it?
They would look at it as a little bit calming, but they would look at it as a warmer color. You know, so it's not that they're going to look at it like, say, red, which is really a hot color. You know, they would look at it as soothing but warm.
Really? Why? Why is that?
Because they're living with everything being white and blue. You know.
Really?
If you look at some of their artwork, there's a lot of blue and white in the artwork. You know, they usually have some yellow.
Yeah.
They have some other colors, but a lot of it is focused on blue, white. You know, some yellow, and if you look at a lot of the houses, they're very colorful to off-balance a lot of the blue and the white.
Interesting. Huh.
Culturally, some things are different.
Yeah. Well, you know, something that I had learned some time ago was that, like, if you go state to state in our country, you'll notice that people tend to wear different types of colors, like, Here in New York, we tend to go with, we like black a lot. You know, we'll go for more, we may actually get into nice, you know, high frequency colors. If you go to Texas, their colors tend to look, you know, like very yellow and very bright. And and it's different from state to state. So I started to realize, because I was, you know, into clothing and merchandising at one point, I was noticing the difference of how people tend to, like, different stores in different states, even if they're part of the same chain, they tend to purchase clothing that's with colors that are indigenous to the type of people who live in that area. So I thought that was a really interesting thing to find out about.
Yeah,
it says
it's
a lot
really
about the people.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was in Manhattan recently, and, you know, you're trying not to be obvious, but there was this young lady, and she's looking in the window of a store, and, you know, in the window there's a mannequin that has an outfit on, and on the outfit she had a medallion, you know, around her neck, a necklace, but it was really a medallion. And I'm looking at this girl for a minute, and all she's staring at is the medallion. It was like she was mesmerized. Now, I was good. I didn't say to her, mandala.
Right.
But apparently she was, it looked like she was just staring at it. She seemed very pulled into it. So I'm sure it was giving her some kind of thought or idea or feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've now learned I do not walk up to people. But it was really funny because it was before we did this show. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, so that's a symbol for me that at least we're on the right track.
Yeah.
It was actually funny.
I really think the universe
has a sense of humor.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, they give us clues into so many things, and it's up to us to notice it and to start looking into it and why the reasons why it suddenly has become quite important for you to suddenly see it or to notice it at that moment. So I think they're always speaking to us. They speak to us through so many different ways. So I think that's one of the ways that the universe speaks to us, or even our guardians, our spiritual guardians, do that too.
It's funny, too, because sometimes society goes in phases and they're not really always conscious of it, you know, and we've been talking, not just us, but in general, we've all been talking a little bit more about spiritual levels for years now, and all of a sudden in society, they're doing coloring books, which are fun, but they look like mandalas, a lot of them. So a lady was telling me she does crafts and things, and I ran into her in a store, and we're online, and you know how it is, you're online forever. So we're talking, and she just got the coloring book, and there was a mandala on the front. She didn't know that's what it was, and she was saying the colors were so pretty, she just couldn't walk away from it, and she didn't understand why because she doesn't like the color.
Really?
So I'm saying, that's strange. It spoke to her, and she couldn't figure out why. Still online to buy it. You know, go ahead.
It was probably partially the design as well that was drawing her in.
And actually, it looked like a gigantic, because she was showing me the book. And the cover, it was very, very colorful, brilliant, brilliant colors. And, you know, it looked like a gigantic flower within a flower within a flower. And then you have the center. So I had to laugh because I'm going, mandala.
Mandala, yeah, she's being focused into the center. Do you think that if we, like, you know, a lot of these workshops, they have you do mandalas, you know. Do you think it's something that would help us on some level to do mandalas on our own, you know, like an everyday practice in some way that might help us open up?
I think that's a really good idea because when you're drawing something on your own, first of all, people get too technical when they do it for themselves. They're like, I'm supposed to have four portals. I'm supposed to have a deity at each portal. That's more if you're working on magic, on the occult side, you know, because then you're dealing with it on a heavier, different level. But when you're just doing something for yourself, you can still do that. However, then people get very intricate in about what deity do I put. It's too much analyzing. So if they're drawing because they feel, you know, something. And it doesn't have to be perfect. People are too worried about perfect because, you know, in school you can't go out of the lines, right? So if you're just going with that flow, two things happen. One is when you're done with the drawing and you're looking at it, it may just pull you in where you get a better sense of yourself. It might elevate you spiritually. It might give you a sense of a feeling or information. But a lot of times, while you're drawing, you know, the drawing itself, when it's flowing, as it's flowing, it's giving you creative ideas and bringing out different ideas or abilities. It's not just when you stop drawing and you focus on it. A lot of times, just the movement of that free drawing, you know, gives you the same feel.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Sometimes it's just the process more than when you're done.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're coming down to the closing. You got any last-minute things that you would like to say?
Well, I just wanted to say for people, don't forget to join us again. And we're really excited about bringing new ideas and new subjects to you. So until the next time, may God bless you abundantly.
Yes, and thank you all for joining us this evening on Hidden Mysteries. And be sure to mark us as your favorite so that you continue to receive notifications of upcoming shows and visit us on facebook.com/mquestmedia. And there you can send either comments or suggestions for upcoming shows. And let us know what questions you may have on today's topic that we may not have covered or perhaps stories of your own experiences. You can get in touch with Reverend Maria at mariadeandrea.com or call her at 631-559-1248. So have a nice night, and thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Hidden Mysteries.